Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on landscaping projects at Menards. Transform your outdoor living space with easy, no-cut block projects. From fire pits and grill stations to planters and fountains. We offer hundreds of free project plans that are easy to build with no block cutting required. Check out our huge selection of concrete landscaping block at Menards. And view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, Talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on the program. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. Happy Friday to you. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Been a very busy week in Titans land, so let's just kind of start there. Your impressions of what you've seen and heard from Mike Borgonzi this week as he has been introduced on the job.
Yeah, well, you know, first things first, every time I hear him talk, man, I can't help but think about Ted, you know, that movie Ted with Marky Mark in there. I like the structure that seems to be – I told him that. He started cracking up. But I like the structure that seems to be in place, at least the stated structure, whereas there isn't any, okay, well, I'm pointing at him, he's pointing at another guy, and another guy's pointing at me. It's, okay, look, this is what it is. The head coach is going to answer to the GM. The GM, in essence, is going to answer to me. We're all going to answer to Amy. I think that's good to have that in place. Obviously, pulling a guy from a winning organization should work in your favor. We'll see. So I like it. And then just the approach that he had, right, with Brett Veach, you know, attacking the Pat Mahomes situation. I'm always that same way. Like, when I'm looking at a prospect, and obviously it's at a much, much less degree, but when I'm evaluating a prospect, I'm like, okay, well, what can he do well? You know, and let's see what that is, and then we'll look at what he has to improve upon, but focus on what he could do well. And that's what they did with Mahomes, and look.
So, of all the things, I feel like a lot of the – you know, a lot of this talk at the main presser was kind of typical stuff, you know, that you'd get a presser like that. I mean, I think everybody in this league wants smart, dependable, tough players and all that stuff. I thought that the Brinker session you guys had off camera was probably some of the more interesting stuff. But of all the things said, TD, have you been able to draw conclusions? I know your guy Schefter kind of, I think, maybe over-concluded something off what Brinker said in his meeting in terms of like the generational talent, but like, do you feel like you have any more sense for what these guys might do at the top of the draft at quarterback or anything based on what you heard this week?
I tell you what was so interesting about that. And it's funny how, you know, quotes from a local media only meeting come out on a national perspective. You know, it's good to know the tweets are being, and the posts on social media are being read, huh? This is the thing. That statement, it wasn't even the main statement in what Chad Brinker said. And that's what's so crazy to me. And I say all that to say, I come away from it thinking, like, there's a pretty good chance that they move out of that number one pick if somebody wants to move up there. And you look, in that statement that he made, he just said it in passing. He was like, you know, we're going to weigh our options. But, I mean, look, like, we're not going to pass on a generational talent. I want to make 30 draft picks over the next 3 years. I mean, if I can have it my way, I'm going to make 30 draft picks over the next 3 years, and 12 of those are going to be in the top 100. That's the statement that you got to pull out of that. And right, I think when you look at that, this team has two top 100 picks, number one and number 35, this year. And in order to multiply, you got to move that first pick. So to me, and then Borgonzi, on top of that, later, he said that draft picks are the highest currency. And he said, if we have the opportunity to move and acquire more picks, we'll certainly do that. What's it tell you? It doesn't tell you anything about generational talent or any of that foolishness. No, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
TD, how many players in this draft do you think are worthy of the number one overall pick?
I'll go with four. I think no one's really talking about it, but Abdul Carter, man, like, that dude he's a menace, a certified menace, right? So you got him, and you got Travis Hunter, who, you know, I'm not going to call it generational. Like, people call him generational. I think he's generational on a college level, right, to be able to do what he does. But he's a legitimate big-time playmaker. So let's go that way. And he's a guy that can impact your team, me personally, all on offense. But then you also obviously look at the quarterbacks. And I think both of those guys, and I will say it again, both of those guys, in my opinion, are worthy of being top picks. And, you know, the more I watch Cam Ward, the more I like him. But, you know, I've remained steadfast that Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback. They're working together with the same quarterback coach, so that's pretty cool. So, yeah, four.
So did you read anything into, I guess, the idea of, like, more separation or, I guess, less voice from Brian Callahan, I guess? I mean, this is something Kaharsky nailed Stille on. It's kind of like, I feel like today's NFL, I know we all hate the word collaboration, but, I mean, your head coach better be intimately involved in every pick you make. But I don't know, did you take anything from that in terms of, like, you know, it's more like Brian Callahan will be a little bit isolated, or no?
Yeah, no, old X-Files, that's something that he may have pulled from. I didn't pull any of that. I mean, look, it's stated, right? The head coach is going to answer to the GM. Like, I don't understand any form of isolation or anything like that. In fact, I just touched here in Dallas, you know, Callahan, those guys, they're all together going to be looking at Shedeur, looking at the other prospects that are here. That's what they're going to do. They're all going to move on to the Senior Bowl. So it's not like, hey, you know, you're not invited to the party, Brian. It's all us that's going to have the fun. No, he's a part of it.
TD, I want to double back with you on Cam Ward. You said the more that you watch him, the more you like him. What specifically is it about Ward that has really kind of caught your eye here?
It's just the playmaking ability. I love it. And, you know, when you are able to watch the All-22 as opposed to, you know, the TV copy, you could actually see, like, how receivers are playing off of him, as far as, like, you know, seeing him able to buy time in the pocket, you know, extending the plays, and they uncover and then they connect. You see that. But then you could really see how he just makes defenses, his presence, you know, attacking the line of scrimmage, right? And it moves defenders and allows guys to get open. It's just fun to watch that. And then just, you know, some of the things that you see him doing pre-snap. Now, you could see that to an extent on TV, but, you know, when you watch the All-22, like, you see him and you see the receivers and they're going back and forth and you see him give him a signal and then, you know, it changes. Like, you look at the Virginia Tech game. Early in that game, they had a long throw along the sideline. And it was a change that he made. You know, he checked out of a play and into another one, and it was like a 30-something yard game. Those are all things that you like, man. It's fun to watch.
So, TD, the Titans have hired a big-time special teams coach and apparently the assistant, too. Haven't heard anything definitive on Colt Anderson. A couple questions on the staff. One, is there any reason to think that Colt Anderson might still have a place on this staff? And two, if this is it, are you surprised that they're basically going with the rest of the group other than at special teams?
No, look, you know, from what I gathered, Colt Anderson and Anthony Levine, you can't forget about him, the assistant special teams coach. Nothing has been determined on either one of them. So it's reasonable to think that there's, you know, a chance that they remain because they haven't been fired. You know what I mean? So that's the way I look at that. Look, getting, as they call him, Bones Fassel, like getting him is a major coup. And I think you got to look at, you know, how he's been able to identify players and bring them in and have them be impact returners. Because we know it's been since 2020 where a return has happened for a touchdown on special teams, you know, and that was A.J. Brown on an onside kick. So make of that what you will. And the last time a punt was returned, I can't – I think 2012. So it's been a while.
Yep, no doubt about that. TD, great stuff, man, as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks. You too. Take care.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on the program. We'll react to what TD had to say there on the Titans. We'll get into Pigskin Pick'em coming up later this hour as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, TD says four guys, in his opinion, worth the number one overall pick: Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Shedeur Sanders, and Cam Ward. TD, I think, a little higher on these quarterbacks than a lot of people looking at the draft. Interested to see kind of how the Titans view that as well. I mean, TD, I think, pretty clearly a big fan of Cam Ward and has been throughout this process here. What do you make of his take on four guys being worthy of the number one overall pick?
Well, but he's higher on Sanders, right? He said he's coming around on Ward. Yeah, I mean, it's like that's where like the QB. I mean, I don't know what the bump is. I don't know what the math is on it, but obviously, just the top quarterback of any draft has to be considered a contender for the number one pick, right? And almost every year it is. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I mean, there were mocks back in 22, weren't there, that had Pickett or Malik Willis going like at the very top. Am I wrong?
Well, I know the day of the draft, people were talking about Malik going number two. So
number two, yeah.
There's that.
And you know, it's, I mean, think about that. And when you think about it in those terms, and again, credit to Malik Willis for improving to the point where he can be a backup in the NFL. But like, you think about that, and it's just the position gives you such an acceleration of your value. So,
well, remember that Jacksonville had the number one overall pick that year, and they had already taken Trevor Lawrence, so they were not taking, you know, a quarterback at that time.
Right. So it was either they took Trevon Walker, right, with that pick. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Or yes. It was either going to be that, or they were going to trade out if someone really wanted to get there to get a QB, and obviously no one did.
Right.
Everybody's like, no, these guys aren't that good. I'll be very interested because right now there's a big difference of opinion on that. And these All-Star games are important for sure. And the All-Star games and the weeks of the All-Star games are very important. You know, East West first, and then you got the Senior Bowl week. And that's, you know, that helps form opinions for sure. I think the combine sometimes over helps with forming opinions. And it's still the game film that is what matters, you know? And that's still the most important piece of information, and everybody's had that. And they've had that all year. They've been looking at these guys. And it feels like, you know, the majority of people who are doing this for whatever they are, whether they're personnel people in the league or they're media people, are questioning whether these guys are that good. But, look, I like Shedeur Sanders. I like his accuracy. I could see him being a good QB. And I do think that, like, Cam Ward's ceiling is probably a little higher. Like, if it all came together for him, he does some things that are like, whoa, a little different, you know. He has some serious talent, but this year I've heard people say, well, JJ McCarthy would clearly be the number one QB this year, and I can buy that, but I have questions about him too.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, yeah, he's a good player. He's a great athlete.
Somehow JJ McCarthy in this conversation has turned into like this can't miss prospect who has not played a snap yet in the National Football League. And I'm not saying he's not going to be really good. And I think it's real that Minnesota obviously really likes him and thinks he's going to be really good. But, yeah, like, he still hasn't played yet in the NFL. I have no idea.
Right. And the unknown is so undefeated, right? And so I don't know. I mean, yeah, with him, it's I think the best thing that I could say about him, he's good. He's good. He's a good college player, but his situation is great. I think Kevin O'Connell, if you want a young, like Kevin O'Connell, based on what we've seen with Cousins, with Darnold, and you know, knowing the lineage, that's a great situation for a QB. But
yes,
yeah, I don't know, and I think it's a really good point TD made on Travis Hunter. Generational as a college player, no question. Won the Heisman, played every snap, insane in today's game that he did what he did. But does that mean he's actually NFL generational? No. And then the whole thing with him, offense or defense, is fascinating to me. And maybe I'm going to end up being proved wrong on that, you know, that I feel like he's incredible at corner and really good at receiver. But that's going to be a big deal. And then how much is he more generational just because a team does what you said, which is if you're going to take him that high, then you should explore how he can help you on both sides of the ball, even though that's not normal in the NFL.
Matt from Camden saying, if you don't take Abdul Carter with the first pick and trade back, is there any chance or way that he can drop to you? I guess that would depend on where you're trading back. Like if you're trading back to 3 or 4, then yeah, I think there's a chance. If you're trading back to 8 or 9, then you're probably not going to end up with Abdul Carter, would be my guess.
Yeah, like the perfect scenario, what is it, the Giants at 4?
I believe so, yes.
You know, they desperately want one of these guys, and you drop back to that, you pick up draft picks, pick/picks.
New England at 4, Giants are at 3. Sorry about that.
Giants are at 3. Well, yep. Even better, because to me, New England, obviously they have the quarterback, so New England is probably hoping it's either Hunter or Abdul Carter is there for them, right?
Right.
If you're at 3, one the quarterback down, and then, yeah, you got a pretty good chance of still getting, like, Abdul Carter at 3, and then you've also helped yourself with the more draft capital that you have stated is very important. So that's probably best case. Yeah, I can't see Abdul Carter. I'd be shocked if he is not a top 5 pick this year.
Yeah, I would be too. You know, that's another thing taken away from the Borgonzi Brinker stuff the other day, that, you know, they talked about wanting to build up the draft capital and the 30 picks over the next 3 years and getting some, you know, some top 100 picks. Well, to me, in order to like hit those milestones, like you almost have to trade back this year, right? Now, the problem is,
yes,
you need a team to basically fall in love with both of these quarterbacks. Like you need as many people as possible to be in love with these quarterbacks. And then I guess the question is, what if they don't, right? Like you brought up the 2022 draft. And again, I don't think this one is exactly the same. Like I think this is, you know, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward are both better prospects in my mind than anybody we saw in the 2022 draft. But we did see in the 2022 draft that nobody fell in love with the quarterbacks. And the first quarterback to go was Kenny Pickett at number 20 in that draft. So, like, it's one thing to want to trade back. How much are other teams going to love one of these two quarterbacks in order to execute and facilitate a trade up with you? That's the other part of this.
Love or be dumb enough to just say, dang, we need a quarterback. Let's go get the quarterback.
Right.
Which is what some, which I understand some, I would say more than some, Titans fans are saying about their team. This is your chance. You're at the top of the draft. Take the quarterback. I just disagree with that. But it does work out sometimes. I mean, I'm sure, you know, through all the years of teams taking quarterbacks high, have some of them been just because of that mindset more than we're absolutely convinced that this guy is the guy? Probably.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't do it though.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
I just wouldn't think of it that way.
I think it's a bad way to look at it. Now, look, it's like anything else in pro sports. Like sometimes you luck your way into stuff, right? Like you can luck your way into good hires and you can luck your way into a good, you know, I've said this before. It's not always about how bad you are. It's about when you're bad. Like, you know, Indianapolis Colts back in the day picked a pretty good time to be bad when Andrew Luck was coming out of the draft, right? Like that's part of it as well. So sometimes you do, I'm sure there have been teams that have made the decision and said, you know what, we need a quarterback. Let's take a chance on the quarterback. And it's worked out really well for them. I also know that there have been teams that have taken quarterbacks probably too high in the draft, and it's been an absolute disaster. And then you set your franchise back another 4 years because you're trying to find an answer at quarterback after that. Now, you know, maybe that timeline changes now because I do think that teams are way less patient with their drafted quarterbacks now than they used to be. And teams are moving on a year, 2 years into these guys Whereas as before, I mean, you didn't really think about that until year three or four, right? Like it was very rare that teams moved on from quarterbacks that quickly. That's not the case anymore. So like, does that, I don't know, like in some ways, does that make teams more likely to take a stab at a quarterback knowing that you don't stick with them as long as you used to?
Yeah, it's amazing how much more fluid it's gotten and way more fun. It's made the offseason way more fun, and it has made it seem a little bit less, you know, like you're absolutely just anchored to this person forever. Well, it's like earlier in the show, we're talking about UC Soros and the Preds, and someone on the text line was like, is there any way to still get out of that contract? No. No, there's not. Like in the NHL, like, you know, you sign up, you got a buyout at some point down the road, you know, with some of these guys.
No trade didn't kick in until next year.
Well, there's that. Okay, there's that. Yes.
Good luck trading that right now, but yeah.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah. But yeah, in this league, you're right. Everything's accelerated, everything's faster. Meanwhile, your team has benefited greatly from not buying into the early impressions of a prospect who needed some time. And I still believe it is possible that Hendon Hooker in Detroit ends up being the answer. I understand they went and got Bridgewater as QB2, but you know, they've held on to him for a reason. And so he could be another one of those stories like that. I hope Kaharski's listening.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Pigskin Pick'em's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
We're getting down to crunch time in Pigskin Pick'em. Conference Championship weekend coming up in the National Football League. And the standings are as follows. A 4-2 week for Nick Kieser with his lock. A 4-2 week with Robbie Stanley with no lock. Rex Road 2-4 with his lock this past week, which brings the overall standings. Nick Kieser in first place, 69-57, 15-6 on his locks, which has been the great separator, 84 points. Joe Rex Road, 71-55 overall, better record overall, 10-11 on his locks, good for 81 points, 3 points back of Kieser. Myself, 67-59, 7-14 on my locks, just abysmal, 74 points, 10 points back of the leader in the competition, Nick Kieser. With that in mind, we begin play here today as we look ahead to conference championship weekend. Nick Kieser, you are in first place. We begin with the NFC title game, the Washington Commanders taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia is 6.5-point favorite in this matchup. Kieser, who do you have?
Yeah, getting down to the wire and Pigskin Pick'em. But my first pick, I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles to kick things off. I think they have the mojo to take down the rookie, fellas.
Going with Philadelphia minus the 6.5. Joe Rexrode, Washington, a 6.5-point dog in this one on the road.
So now we get into, you know, we have two of these left. We have this one, we have the Super Bowl. I got 3 points to make up. If I do that, I'll win because I'll have a better – well, I guess, yeah, probably. So do I make picks based on picks, or do I make picks based on being different from Nick so that I can try to catch him?
I have the most important thing this week is you want to be right, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'll also go with the Eagles here.
Okay, going with the Eagles. give me the Commanders. Give me the Commanders plus the 6.5. I think the Eagles end up winning by about a field goal, but I'll take the Commanders plus the 6.5 in the competition. We stick with the same game, Joe Rextro. The over-under between Washington and Philadelphia is 47.5. Are you going over or are you going under?
Are we allowed to talk weather, like if we all have the same information, or is that information that I should have already like gathered by my own?
I'll just be totally frank with you. I have not looked at the weather. I assume it's going to be cold.
Yeah, but cold, you know, the other day, obviously, it was freaking, you know, a snowstorm there. Obviously, these over-unders, you know, it's like, wow, that's a tough one. Well, that's what the point is, right? That's why Vegas sets them to where they'd be betting on both sides.
By the way, it's going to be a high of 43 degrees and sunny on Sunday. So there you go.
Yeah, I will go with the over I think it's going to end up being a little bit of a shoot, a little bit of Barkley going wild, but a little bit of Commanders throwing it around the yard. So give me the over.
I will take the under in the competition, a defensive struggle in the NFC title game. Nick Kieser, over under 47.5.
Yeah, I'm going under here as well.
Well said. The Bills and the Chiefs coming up in the AFC title game. Kansas City, a 1.5-point favorite at home. I will start on this one. Joe, I'm probably insane because why would I do this? Because all they do is win. But give me the Buffalo Bills plus the 1.5 and to win the game outright and make it my lock. Guaranteed. I'm locking down on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I can feel it. This is their year. The Kansas City run comes to an end. Buffalo is winning this game and advancing to the Super Bowl. Nick Kieser, Kansas City favored by 1.5.
All right, my animosity is building up. I'm going with the Chiefs, making my lock. I want to see the three-peat. I'm not kidding. So let's see Patrick Mahomes ball out. Travis Kelce had a great week as well, so looking to see him pop off as well.
Joe Rexroad, Kansas City by 1.5.
Well, there's no question now where my rooting interest is, and I'm with Robbie. I think that they're going to win. I think they're going to break this streak, and I think the most of the football-watching public will be happy about it. Give me the Bills.
Going with Buffalo plus the 1.5 on Sunday's AFC title matchup. Over-under in that one, 48.5. Nick Kieser, are you going over or are you going under?
I'll be going over in this game, fellas.
Joe Rexroad, over-under, 48.5.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go over as well.
Give me under, a defensive struggle in the AFC title game. Kansas City's defense holds Buffalo down, but so does Buffalo's defense against that Kansas City offense. All right, back to the NFC title game. The over-under passing yards for Jaden Daniels in this game is 223.5. 223.5. Are you going over or under, Joe Rexroad?
Over and make that my lock.
Wow.
I think that Yeah, I think they're probably going to be playing a little bit of catch-up here, so I think there's going to be some empty calories in the fourth quarter, but I think he'll definitely pass that.
I will go over as well. And look, I think he's going to go over while the game remains close. Like, I think Jay Daniels is an absolute stud. I think he's going to show it again on Sunday, so I'll take the over. Nick Kieser, over or under 223.5.
I'm going to go under here. I just got some weird feeling about that game. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game, obviously, picking the under. That's just my feeling. And then, I don't know, the rookie, I feel like it's going to get to him just a little bit on Sunday.
We got a chance for some major movement in the competition this weekend.
We do.
All right, Patrick Mahomes over under against Buffalo is 249.5. I will go under on that one. I do not think he makes it to 249.5. Nick Kieser, over or under 249.5 for Mahomes.
Yeah, they did have a good week, not that long, but I'm going to go under with Patty Mahomes here.
Joe Rexroad, both Kieser and I disrespecting Patrick Mahomes greatly heading into this matchup. Your thoughts on the 249.5 over under?
Give me the over. I think that the Bills are going to press the issue and score a lot of points in this game, more than a lot for the Chiefs at least, and I think he's going to have to be over. Woo, so we got a chance for some real movement this week.
You and Kieser are different on, I believe, 5 of the 6. Is that correct?
We both have Eagles, and we both have Bills Chiefs over. So 4 of the 6.
Okay, there you go. 4 of the 6 you're different on. So some chance for some big-time movement in the competition.
Yes.
Nick Kieser could be sitting comfortably ahead this time when the Super Bowl comes around, or Rexroad could be in the lead. There's a myriad of possibilities here in the competition.
I'm ready for
it. Or, you know. Yeah, you know, I could make this a game again heading into Super Bowl week. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah, you're actually different from us, from him a lot too, right?
I believe so.
Yes. Okay.
Hey, I think we're all winners in this, though. I think we're all winners in this because if you've been listening to us, we have picked some really good games.
That ain't how the competition works. We're not all winners. One of us is going to lose, and right now it looks like it's going to be me.
You know what? You know what? I'll do what D-May says. I wish nothing but bad luck on all of y'all. I don't care.
That's fair. I'm just blown away that, you know, Kieser's 15-6 on his locks.
I know.
Like, that's pretty unbelievable.
That's pretty awesome. I think that's a pretty good brag.
That's pretty good. I think the listeners should make 3 trophies, and then we all get trophies.
Stop being soft, Joe.
3 trophies, and then we all get trophies, and we all get pizza. And maybe even ice cream.
Wow. Hey, what a time that would be. 615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll have our final thoughts on the Titans' final thoughts on conference championship weekend coming up in the National Football League. And the Predators have won 5 consecutive games. Can they get back into the thick of things in the Western Conference? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Over the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. A lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line to close things out here. Which, by the way, we got people asking, they're calling Joe Rexroad a Vols homer because the Lions are going to release Hendon Hooker later this season because they don't trust him. I am interested to get Joe's thoughts on the Hendon Hooker part of this here in just a second. Got a couple things to get to here in this last segment. The Predators have won 5 games in a row. They get a 6-5 win last night against San Jose. Philip Forsberg extending his goal streak to 7 games. We're going to get into them here momentarily. We will take more of your thoughts on conference championship weekend, as well as the Commanders take on the Eagles and the Chiefs hosting the Bills in the AFC title games. Joe, I do want to get your thoughts on this to start here. A lot of people hammering you for your love for Hendon Hooker. Who would you rather have as quarterback next year of the Tennessee Titans, Sam Darnold or Hendon Hooker?
Yes, Jared has sent me a personal text. Who else? Anybody else know? But I've seen the text line hit me too. Yes, I would definitely pick Sam Darnold, okay? Again, Hendon Hooker, I have to go with college performance, which obviously is not 100% reliable. It's not close to that. I am, though, going with ACL and the rookie year's washed away. So this was really his rookie year. People seem to forget that. And I understand they brought in Bridgewater. So Karski immediately texted me, "Oh, your boy Hendon Hooker. Whoa, what's going on with that guy?" And so now I got still like, yeah, you know. And that's fine. But Bridgewater coming in this year as insurance, as a veteran who, you know, played quarterback pretty well in the NFL for a lot of years, does not mean the future of Hendon Hooker is washed away. So I'm sticking with my belief that he's going to get his opportunity and do well. But no, right now, based on the information we have, of course I would take Sam Darnold over Hendon Hooker. Let's not get goofy.
Well, I was told to ask you the question, so that's what I did.
Who, Stilly told you?
Stilly told me to ask you the question.
Or Paulie? Which one of Stilly and Paulie?
It was Stilly. Stilly told me to ask you the question, so I figured I would oblige. I didn't want to bring his name up because I didn't know if you'd get violently angry like you did earlier in the show.
Well, he texted me too, but he didn't have the guts to ask the question. So,
are we crazy for picking Josh Allen and the Bills to go into Arrowhead and take down Kansas City this weekend?
No, no. Or not. Doesn't mean it'll happen, but no, this is a toss-up game. And Vegas is telling you it's a toss-up game. Vegas is telling you that on a neutral field, the Bills are favored by 1.5, aren't they?
They are, but Kansas City doesn't lose.
Yeah, I get that. I do. But they will. They will. That's my analysis.
I understand. Lose. But they will.
I mean, at some point, everything comes to an end. You know, my beloved Golden State Warriors, as I watch them flail and flounder at 500, it's like, hey, man, it was a dynasty. It was a great run. And, you know, still enjoy watching some of those guys. But it just, they come to an end. The Chiefs are not there yet, of course. And there's a big difference when you have a quarterback like Mahomes. But I just think that it's the Bills' time. It is. I think it's the Bills' time, and they had them, you know, a couple years ago, and they let them out. But I think this time they're going to get it done. I really do. Like, it's not just like that I'm sick of the Chiefs and I want them to lose. I actually think the Bills are going to get this done this time.
How awesome would a Bills-Commanders Super Bowl be? I mean, I'm rooting for it. I don't think it's very likely, but I'm rooting for it. I think it'd be great.
That would be fun. I mean, look, Bills-Eagles would also be –
it'd be great.
I mean, in a way, Bills-Eagles sounds more attractive just because, you know, the Eagles are a more complete team than the Commanders.
But yeah, yes. But they've been there too much lately.
Yeah, I hear you.
I need some new blood.
Bills Commanders, though, would bring back the 91, the second of four straight Bills Super Bowl losses in a row.
Yeah.
And, of course, the last three being blowouts. So a little chance to get a little bit of revenge there. But let me tell you something. Jaden Daniels is not Mark Rippon. He's better than Mark Rippon.
I'd say that that is a fair assessment that you've made there. Look, I'm interested to see how it goes down this weekend. You know, Philadelphia, I mean, you're at home. The way the playoffs have broken in the NFC with Detroit going out have worked really well for you here. So, like, I think it's a big opportunity for Philadelphia. Like, how healthy is Jalen Hurts? You know, he screwed up his knee at the end of the last game. You know, obviously him being able to run and take off with the ball is a big part of this. Like, if he is limited in a significant way in this game, how much of an impact does that have on the game?
Yeah, a big one for sure. And the Commanders did a good job against Barkley last time. Yeah, especially second half, they sold out. They stopped the run. They came back. They won the game. But Barkley is just—it's just so hard to not let him sneak out of there once or twice a game, right? Yeah. Like they find a way to get him free. But I just
AJ will have his book on the sideline. He'll be ready to go just in case.
He has like 30 yards receiving, by the way, in two games. So
yeah,
there's a guy who I don't think that they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna be in the Super Bowl if they don't get more production out of AJ.
Well, just got to get more books out there. Whatever passages he's reading right now, we need new ones.
By the way, I think the sales on that book, have they gone like 1,000% immediately? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get that book. Some kind of self-improvement.
Joe, the Preds have won five games in a row. They get the 6-5 win last night against San Jose. So back-to-back wins against the Sharks this week. They'll go for 6 in a row tomorrow against Anaheim. You know, we talked about it to begin the week. Could you take advantage of this week and win all of these games and get this winning streak to 6? If you could do that, then I'd start to look ahead and say, all right, well, what does this path look like here for you? They won last night. They kept pace. They're still 10 points out of a playoff spot. But Vancouver lost in regulation. St. Louis lost in regulation. Seattle lost in regulation. Like some teams in front of you lost last night. So, you know, obviously they're playing really really well right now. The offense is coming. Forsberg's got goals in 7 straight. He scored twice last night. Stamkos is playing great. Marchessault's playing great. So there's a lot to feel good about with the Predators right now. To me, if you can win this game against Anaheim and get this thing to 6, you know, that idea that we talked about on Monday, when you look ahead to the break, like, can you get yourself in a position by the break coming up on February the 8th, where you're like 7 or 8 points out of a playoff spot? Could it be lower than that? Like, if it's lower than that, then I think you have a realistic shot heading into the final stretch of the season here. But Predators doing a lot of winning right now.
They are. I still don't have a huge amount of trust when you gave up 10 goals in 2 games to the Sharks.
There's that.
And, you know, you had an incredible comeback, the biggest comeback ever to win one of them, and you blew a 5-2 lead in one period in the other one. You won them. And, again, the offense clicking the way it is exciting. I mean, it's just like with the Titans this year, at least, like, score points and lose, so you're fun to watch.
Yeah.
So if they win, you know, if they finish this out, it's like, well, you did what you're supposed to do. That is still, though, that's a hurdle, right? I mean, I didn't think that they would. I figured they'd screw it up somewhere. They have won these games. You start getting on a roll. You keep building on 5 straight, and you get it down into single digits. And I don't think there's any question that it would have a big impact on the room, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't think, like, they would have a level of, I guess, I don't know about belief, but a level of just, you know, possibility that they haven't had in a long time. I mean, I know I've buried them long ago. They would had no chance of making the playoffs. So they can do it. It makes for an interesting February, at least.
Well, UC Saros is going to have to be a big part of that. He did not start last night. You know, his 8-year contract kicks in next year, so he's not going anywhere. Yeah, he's going to be around. He's going to have to be a part of this. But, like, his numbers are not good. Like, he's got career, other than, like, when he started, I think, one game his first year. He's got career low numbers right now. 901 save percentage. His goal saved above expected is not good. Like, he's, by the numbers, the last 2 years, he's trending in the wrong way. Now, there's still some time to pull himself out of it this year, but something to keep an eye on if you're the Predators moving forward here is, like, how concerning is that when you're paying him to be one of the elite goalies in the league? And right now, quite frankly, he's just not. He has not played like one of the elite goalies in the league for really the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's that's a big picture concern for sure. I mean, well beyond even the short term of like these guys in their prime and what can you do and can you really make a run? I mean, that's a huge concern beyond that. But I mean, just a year ago, he played really good hockey in this stage of the season.
Yep.
And that's all. That's what you just have to hope that he finds that. And if not, man, a lot of things look different long term for this franchise.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Back to be glad to be back on the right side of things today. Back on the program.
Woo!
Not half dead. All those things are good. Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll be back at 6 a.m. on Monday morning to break it all down this weekend. Jason Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.